6. Freedom to live. What now is the result of the miraculous passage and return? The battlefield is symbolic of the field of life, where every creature lives on the death of another. A realization of the inevitable guilt of life may so sicken the heart that, like Hamlet or like Arjuna, one may refuse to go on with it. On the other hand, like most of the rest of us, one may invent a false, finally unjustified image of oneself as an exceptional phenomenon in the world, not guilty as others are, but justified in one's inevitable sinning, because one represents the good. Such self-righteousness leads to a misunderstanding, not only of oneself, but of the nature of both man and the cosmos. The goal of the myth is to dispel the need for such life ignorance by effecting a reconciliation of the individual consciousness with the universal will. And this is effected through a realization of the true relationship of the passing phenomena of time to the imperishable life that lives and dies in all.
Even as a person casts off worn-out clothes and puts on others that are new, so the embodied self casts off worn-out bodies and enters into others that are new. Weapons cut it not. Fire burns it not. Water wets it not. The wind does not wither it. This self cannot be cut, nor burnt, nor wetted, nor withered. Eternal, all-pervading, unchanging, immovable, the self is the same forever.
Man, in the world of action, loses his centering in the principle of eternity if he is anxious for the outcome of his deeds. But resting them and their fruits on the knees of the living God, he is released by them, as by a sacrifice, from the bondages of the sea of death. Do without attachment the work you have to do, surrendering all action to me, with mind intent on the self, freeing yourself from longing and selfishness, fight, unperturbed by grief. Powerful in this insight, calm and free in action, elated that through his hand should flow the grace of Viracocha, the hero is the conscious vehicle of the terrible, wonderful law, whether his work be that of butcher, jockey, or king. Guion Bach, who, having tasted 3 drops from the poison kettle of inspiration, was eaten by the hag Caradhuan, reborn as an infant and committed to the sea, was found next morning in a fish trap by a hapless and sorely disappointed young man named Elphin, son of the wealthy landholder Gwythno, whose horses had been killed by the flood of the burst kettle's poison. When the men took up the leathern bag out of the trap and opened it and saw the forehead of the baby boy, they said to Elphin, "Behold a radiant brow, Taliesin." "Taliesin be he called," said Elphin, and he lifted the boy in his arms, and, lamenting his mischance, he placed him sorrowfully behind him. And he made his horse amble gently that before had been trotting, and he carried him as softly as if he had been sitting on the easiest chair in the world. And presently the boy recited aloud a poem in consolation and praise of Elphin, and foretold to him honor and glory.
"Fair Elphin, cease to lament. Let no one be dissatisfied with his own. To despair will bring no advantage. No man sees what supports him. Weak and small as I am, on the foaming beach of the ocean, in the day of trouble I shall be of more service to thee than 300 salmon.
When Elphin returned to his father's castle, Gwythno asked him if he had had a good haul at the weir, and he told him that he had got that which was better than fish. "What was that?" said Gwythno. A bard, answered Elphin. Then said Gwythno, Alas, what will he profit thee? And the infant himself replied and said, He will profit him more than the weir ever profited thee. Asked Gwythno, Art thou able to speak, and thou so little? And the infant answered him, I am better able to speak than thou to question me. Let me hear what thou canst say, quoth Gwythno. Then Taliesin sang a philosophical song. Now the king one day held court, and Taliesin placed himself in a quiet corner.
And so when the bards and the heralds came to cry largesse, and to proclaim the power of the king and his strength, at the moment that they passed by the corner wherein he was crouching, Taliesin pouted out his lips after them, and played brrrm, brrrm, with his finger upon his lips. Neither took they much notice of him as they went by, but proceeded forward till they came before the king, unto whom they made their obeisance with their bodies, as they were wont, without speaking a single word, but pouting out their lips, and making mouths at the king, playing blurrn, blurrn, upon their lips with their fingers, as they had seen the boy do elsewhere. This sight caused the king to wonder, and to deem within himself that they were drunk with many liquors. Wherefore he commanded one of his lords, who served at the board, to go to them and desire them to collect their wits, and to consider where they stood, and what it was fitting for them to do. And the lord did so gladly. But they ceased not from their folly any more than before. Whereupon he sent to them a second time, and a third, desiring them to go forth from the hall. At the last, the king ordered one of his squires to give a blow to the chief of them named Heininvarth, and the squire took a broom and struck him on the head, so that he fell back in his seat. Then he arose and went on his knees, and besought leave of the king's grace to show that this their fault was not through want of knowledge, neither through drunkenness, but by the influence of some spirit that was in the hall. And after this, Heinin spoke on this wise, O honourable king, be it known to your grace that not from the strength of drink or of too much liquor are we dumb, without power of speech, like drunken men, but through the influence of a spirit that sits in the corner, yonder, in the form of a child. Forthwith the king commanded the squire to fetch him, and he went to the nook where Taliesin sat, and brought him before the king, who asked him what he was, and whence he came. And he answered the king in verse, Primary chief bard am I to Elphin, and my original country is the region of the summer stars. Idno and Heinin called me Merthin. At length every king will call me Taliesin. I was with my lord in the highest sphere, on the fall of Lucifer into the depth of hell. I have borne a banner before Alexander. I know the names of the stars from north to south. I have been on the galaxy at the throne of the distributor. I was in Canaan when Absalom was slain. I conveyed the divine spirit to the level of the vale of Hebron. I was in the court of Don before the birth of Gideon. I was instructor to Eli and Enoch. I have been winged by the genius of the splendid Crozier. I have been loquacious prior to being gifted with speech. I was at the place of the crucifixion of the merciful Son of God. I have been 3 periods in the prison of Arianrod. I have been the chief director of the work of the Tower of Nimrod. I am a wonder whose origin is not known. I have been in Asia with Noah in the ark. I have seen the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I have been in India when Roma was built. I am now come here to the remnant of Troia. I have been with my Lord in the manger of the ass. I strengthened Moses through the water of Jordan. I have been in the firmament with Mary Magdalene. I have obtained the muse from the cauldron of Caridwen. I have been bard of the harp to Cleon of Lochlin. I have been on the White Hill, in the court of Cunvelin. For a day and a year, in stocks and fetters, I have suffered hunger for the son of the Virgin. I have been fostered in the land of the deity. I have been teacher to all intelligences. I am able to instruct the whole universe. I shall be until the day of doom on the face of the earth, and it is not known whether my body is flesh or fish. Then I was for 9 months in the womb of the hag Caradwen. I was originally little Gwion, and at length I am Taliesin. And when the king and his nobles had heard the song, they wondered much, for they had never heard the like from a boy as young as he.
The larger portion of the bard's song is devoted to the imperishable, which lives in him, only a brief stanza to the details of his personal biography. Those listening are oriented to the imperishable in themselves and then supplied incidentally with an item of information. Though he had feared the terrible hag, he had been swallowed and reborn. Having died to his personal ego, he arose again, established in the self. The hero is the champion of things becoming, not of things become, because he is. Before Abraham was, I am. He does not mistake apparent changelessness in time for the permanence of being, nor is he fearful of the next moment, or of the other thing, as destroying the permanent with its change. Nothing retains its own form, but nature, the greater renewer, ever makes up forms from forms. Be sure there's nothing perishes in the whole universe. It does but vary and renew its form. Thus, the next moment is permitted to come to pass, when the Prince of Eternity kissed the princess of the world, her resistance was allayed.
She opened her eyes, awoke, and looked at him in friendship. Together they came down the stairs, and the king awoke, and the queen, and the entire courtly estate, and they all looked at each other with big eyes. And the horses in the court stood up and shook themselves. The hunting dogs jumped and wagged their tails. The pigeons on the roof drew their little heads out from under their wings, looked around, and flew across the field. The flies on the wall walked again. The fire in the kitchen brightened, flickered, and cooked the dinner. The roast began again to sizzle, and the cook gave the scullery boy a box in the ear that made him yell, and the maid finished plucking the chicken.